You know, this wasn't planned, but I feel it's good to just do things like this when God moves you. I just want to, you know, for those of you guys who know my story, I was here years ago and I came back, but I love hearing Marva and Miss Kim sing because of the fact of they've been doing it for a long time, and still the fact of their joy of singing and the joy of leading us. And I just thank you guys for that. Thank you for getting up here and singing and helping us in worship. It's like coming home to like a comfortable thing to hear you guys do that. So thank you. So good morning. Good morning. I hope that you guys have had a good week, right? You know, I think of sometimes it's like, okay, I made it here. I'm here. And that's all we can do, right? Sometimes that's our week. We walk in on Sunday morning and you're like, okay, it's going to be right, right? Or, you know, or maybe we woke up in the morning, okay, we're ready to be here. I just hope that this morning you're excited. I hope that the worship, like I said, just lifted your soul and did that for you and just got to hear people's hearts who have a heart for you to do that. And I hope that also you guys have enjoyed fellowshipping. I love getting to see different people you only get to see once a week. But I know if you're like me, you look forward to it, right? You look forward to seeing those people once a week, right? Sometimes we think maybe it should be more than once a week. But the people here and the people you go to church with, if you've gone to church for any amount of time, you know that they can be more family than your blood family. Right, amen? Amen, right? And it's an exciting time for our church. It really is. Our church has gone through many things, but we see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? And we're moving forward. It's good. So, well, with all that, I have a question for you guys this morning. And you guys know me. I work with youth, so I ask for a little bit of involvement back, okay? Woo, yeah, right? Our youth kids are like, yeah, they're talking about me. Yeah. So you guys need to raise your hands for me here. How many of you guys have ever been discouraged? Right? Everyone's like, can I put my, right? More than that, right? We have all had bad days. We have all had bad days. Some of you this week may have been a week-long bad day. Or some of you go, when I say, how many of you had bad days, you're like, I'd take one bad day, right? That's the way we think about. Some people, joking aside, you've been going through a lot of discouragement in your life. You've been going through a lot of things where you're like, okay, I'm ready for a win. That is real. That is real for some of us. Well, my hope this morning is not to be Debbie Downer, but my hope is to talk about something opposite of what is discouraging. Today we're going to look at joy. We're going to look at the idea of joy. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? It's love, joy. And it's one of the things that should come out of your life if you know the Spirit, if you know God, right? I'm not naive to think that if you have joy in your life, that everything's all warm and fuzzy, right? That, oh, I have joy in my life. Everything's great, right? That's not how it works. Yeah, amen, right? But this is something I believe wholeheartedly that God gives us and is going to give us to get through hard times. It's going to give us joy to get through hard times, to get through life. Because, you know, anything that I teach students all the time is I teach them, hey, you think life is easy now or it's hard now, right? Tom's laughing. It's true. You, if you can get this concept, Psalms 30 verse 5 says this, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. right? Amen. So I love the fact of that this is a promise that is saying, no matter what's going on, tomorrow's coming, and there's joy comes in the morning. I know some of you out there are going, okay, I'm ready for the morning. It's like morning now. I'm ready for the morning tomorrow because I'm ready for that joy in my life. But that joy comes in the morning. Romans 15:13 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So God doesn't just want to give us joy. He wants to fill our lives with joy. And I think too many times we are too busy we don't realize it, and we don't want to look at it this way, but we're too busy with trying to fill our life with other things, and in turn we're filling our life with discouragement and despair instead of trying to fill our lives with joy. And, you know, a couple weeks ago I talked about peace, and I talked about peace, and I, you know, when I've done this that lesson with students, and I talk about looking at what the world shows you and what goes on in the world. What's going on in the world is the opposite of peace and the opposite of really, if you look at it, joy. So when you think about joy, the world won't show you joy, but God will show you joy. God's going to teach you that. God's going to teach you what joy is. So what is joy, right? What is joy? It's not just a cool middle name or a first name of somebody, a female that we know or something like that. Joy is, this is the definition. If you look, it's weird. Joy is a word that if you look up the definition of joy, there's a lot of different definitions. And actually then it was funny how that worked out. I was talking to someone this morning and I said, yeah, I'm talking about joy. And they said, oh, there's a lot of different definitions of that word based on what we all think, right? But this is the definition I like. It says a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. A feeling of great pleasure and happiness, right? That sounds all nice and warm and fuzzy, right? A feeling of great pleasure and happiness. That would be the definition that non-believers, people who don't know Christ, could look at and say, oh yeah, that's a good definition. I'll write that down. I'll put that somewhere. Okay, I should feel that joy. I feel joy in my life. But for those of us who know Christ and have Christ living in us, we know that the definition of joy is so much more. The definition of joy should be this. Our outward joy comes from an inward satisfaction that I know Jesus. That should be where the joy comes from in our life, is the fact and the satisfaction that we know Jesus. Again, as I thought about this and I was praying about this lesson, I kept thinking about the people in our church. Some of the people in our church have known hurt and known the opposite of joy. But then I think about those same people who are that way. They understand joy because, I don't know, man, the old saying, you can't keep a good dog down. These people, you cannot keep them down because their joy is beautiful. And I love it, and I love seeing that because they have that satisfaction and they know Jesus. And that's just, it's encouraging. Nehemiah 8:10 says this, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready, for this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That joy that we have in the Lord is our strength to get through the day. Is our strength to get through the good times and the bad times. That should be where we find our strength from. That should be the thing of where we wake up in the morning and we have that joy of knowing that my God is bigger than anything. That's right, amen. He's bigger than anything we come up against, anything that this world throws at us, or even anything that this world has for us to go looking after and seeking after, no matter if it's relationships or whatever it is. Our joy and our strength comes from God. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13 says this, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. The first time I read that, I was like, who in their right mind would rejoice in the fact that I'm suffering like somebody else? Right? Why would I think of, man, but you think about who it is that we're rejoicing in our suffering, because we know that when we do that, the glory of the Lord is going to be shown to us. And this glory is the salvation that at the end we know that our joy and our strength comes in knowing that we have Christ in our life and we have salvation. That no matter what it is we're going through today and no matter what it is we're going through here on this earth, anything, that the salvation that we have in Christ is so much bigger and stronger. And the end result is there and strong, so much stronger. So this joy, again, I said this word a lot, this joy gives us strength because we know we have salvation. No matter what we have, no matter what's going on, it's up against us, no matter sickness, no matter pain or hurt, because of Christ, we can overcome that. So when I think of joy, and again, I love how God puts people in your life, like right before when you don't expect it, to say things, and you get to talk to them about it, and they challenge you in that, and it's almost like they read your notes. But it's crazy, because they said that, well, joy has got so many things. You're right. Joy, we see the joy that we have in knowing Christ, but you also see that joy is not supposed to be something we hold to ourselves. We don't just hide it, you know. Think of that little song as a kid, was this little light of mine, hide it under a rock, oh no, I'm going to let it shine. But you think of the joy that we have is not supposed to be something that we keep to ourselves, that we don't let anybody else know about it, right? Luke 1:58 in the NIV says this, her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had showed her great mercy, and they shared her joy. If you know the story of this right here, what this is Elizabeth talking, or this is telling about Elizabeth, who is the mother of John the Baptist. She had just found that she was going to be with child, and she was just found that she was going to have a baby, and that she wasn't supposed to have a baby. This wasn't supposed to happen because she was a little bit older on in age. She hadn't been able to have children. Okay, but I love what it said. Is she shared her joy with everybody. She shared her joy with everybody. People should see your joy. I say this all the time. I say it to students and I say it to anybody I come in contact with. People should not be surprised by hearing that you're a Christian for the first time when they hear about it. They shouldn't be surprised when they go, oh, you're a Christian? Could have fooled me. That shouldn't be what people, there shouldn't be surprised. They should see the joy of the Lord in your life. Are they? Are people seeing the joy coming out of you, the love, the fact that we know the blessings that God has given us? You look at Elizabeth, how she shared that joy. She was excited to tell people about how God had blessed her life. Someone asks you, hey, what's going on in your life? What's God doing in your life? And you go, give me a second. That shouldn't be. That should be on the tip of our tongue, ready to be said at all times. It encourages people. People want to hear that. People want to hear the things. Yeah, they want to be with you in the suffering. They want to be there, but they also want to hear you. That's why I love, love, love getting to see the prayer requests that people put in. And I love seeing, you know, to know that people have real prayer requests. But I also love it when you guys don't forget to put praises on there, because they're encouraging and it's great to see those things. Then we should not just hold it in, but also when it comes to this joy and comes to that, we should also celebrate when we see brothers and sisters who are repenting. When we see people come into the Lord, we should be celebrating, we should be jumping up and down, being excited for people and in their joy. When's the last time you did that? When someone says, oh yeah, hey, this happened to me. Wow, way to go. That's so awesome. That's so great. And this is not meant to sound cheesy, like, oh, that's what you should. No, it really should be. You should be excited. You know, I love how in Luke it says this. Luke 15, 6 and 7 says, and when he came home, he called together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you that you will be, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. We should be excited for people to come to know the Lord. We should be excited when somebody, a guest, comes. We should be excited. It should not, we should never have it. This is just a little challenge here. We should never have it to where if someone new comes into our church, they should be able to come in and sit down and get up and walk away and never be greeted by anybody. We should never have that happen. Also, we should never have it to where this is the only time we show Jesus to anybody. I love talking with Don because Don's got a passion for outside these walls. That should be every single one of our passion, to be outside of these walls, to be sharing the joy of the Lord with people, and also to be excited about them experiencing that. We should get off of our holy assurance and get up and go and reach those people. Be at the supermarket. Hey, how are you this morning? You know, show, man, there's so many things to say, to show that to people. So, you think, you know, I shared these things and you talked about these different things. Okay, the question is, though, I keep telling you, you need to be joyful, you need to do this. How do we be joyful? How do we stay joyful in our lives? It's a good question. It's a hard question sometimes, I feel like. Well, I got five ways for you to look at. I think they're simple, but yet sometimes things that are simple can be very convicting and very hard, I think. And if you really listen to what they are, I think they're going to challenge you. I hope they're going to challenge you. So the number one way to be joyful is stop complaining. Stop complaining. It should not be the first thing that comes on your mouth, comes out of your mouth. Philippians 2:14 through 16 says this, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hold fast to the word of life, so that in the day of the Lord I may be proud that I do not run in vain or labor in vain. Do all things without grumbling. That means being joyful. Can I tell you this secret here? Complaining is not a spiritual gift. The gift of confrontation is not a spiritual gift. That should not be what's coming out of us. If you want to stay joyful, that first way is, yes, okay, it can be easy to say, oh gosh, this and this is happening. But remind yourself, when you start to complain, oh man, okay, look what God's done for me. Look what this and this and this and this. If you have grandkids and you're around them at all, look at your grandkids. If you have kids and you get to be around them at all, look at them. Even though they may frustrate the heck out of you, remember that they're going to help. There's so many things in your life that are going to help you to be reminded of that. But stop complaining. Stop complaining. Number two. Hang around joyful people. Simple, right? But it's true. You have those people in your life who you're like, man, I don't know how you do it, but I want more of what you got going on, right? That you want to be around those people. They're people who are always bebopping, always whistling. They got a tune. They're excited. Tap into those people. Ask them how they're doing it. I love, this is one of my life verses here that I love, is Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Be around people who are sharpening you, not doling you out. Because a knife is no good. It's not doing any of its purpose if it's not sharp and being able to cut. the same thing is for us. If we're down in the, if we're those Debbie Downer and we're stuck there, are we doing what God has called us to do? That's what people are for. That's why this is a community, a fellowship of believers. That's why you have the people who are sitting next to you in these chairs to be able to. And we have technology now. You can text message someone and say, hey, I'm having a hard time. We all know that one person we have who's always just super joyful and cheerful and just, they shouldn't be, but they are. They're just crazy joyful. It's just amazing. The third thing, stay thankful. Stay thankful for the things we have. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we've heard this a million times, but it's so true. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In all circumstances. Not in some, not sometimes. That goes along with the whole joyful thing. We need to try to be thankful in everything we have. We need to try to find the silver lining in wherever it is, whatever it is we're looking at, whatever it is that's going on in life, because it's going to help us point us back to that. No matter if, okay, honestly, it could be something simple. Maybe you have something that reminds you. This thing, you know, I love the idea of the candle that we give guests. Get you a candle that is that, like, thankful candle or that joyful candle that you're like, okay, I'm not being very joyful today. Light it. Have something to remind you. The fourth thing, find the beauty in the small things. The little things in life, they're all over the place. We need to be intentional. We need to look for them. We need to look for those things. Luke 16:10 says this, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. It starts with little things. Getting up in the morning, a mindset. Getting up in the morning with doing things that are there. Having things throughout the day that are keeping you in that spot. Because I know these things, this may sound silly, but I'm trying to be as practical as possible because I do feel very strongly that we struggle with finding joy in our life. And I know with, and I know from my own life, and it doesn't matter how old or young you are, if you don't do these little things, when you're not joyful and when you're struggling down, in the, you're not doing what God has left you on this earth to do. And I know you may say, you don't know what my life looks like. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the struggles I have. You're right, I may not. But I know that God's word is clear. He wants to encourage you to be that. The last thing that sums it all and brings it all together is the most important thing of all of it, is get in God's presence. Jeremiah 29:13, I love this scripture. It says, you seek me and find me. You will seek me with all your heart. I love it because it shows that it's an action. We want to be in God's presence. We want to have a life that is not down in the dump, no matter what's going to happen. If we seek God, if we are going after Him, if we are going to the source of where joyful and joy and all these things, you see how it says it's a fruit of the Spirit, which I think is something that is really easy for a lot of us to look past. The fruit of the Spirit means it is something that comes out of you. It's something you produce if you have Christ living in you. You know, we spout off the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. We blow right through them, right? We have them memorized since we were little kids. But you look at it, if we want to have that, we want to have these things in our life to make us, set us apart, to help us with a better life, we have to be tapped into the source. We have to be tapped into God, no matter what life throws at us. So as we're going to leave here today, I want to just challenge you guys, is I love Hebrews 11:6. It says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Some translations say earnestly seek him. As we leave here today, I say this a lot and I mean it. Church cannot be the only time that we are trying to seek him. It has to be a daily thing that we are being intentional to earnestly seek God in everything that we do. But maybe this week we're going to start out by just trying to seek joy in our life. Stop complaining. Stop doing these things. Stop surrounding these things around us. Seek joy in your life. Be intentional. Seek people who are joyful in your life. Sharpen each other. Do those things. Be intentional. Show joy to people. Please don't just leave here today and go, okay, I got my Jesus on and I went home. Be intentional with the way you live your life. Be intentional with tapping in to that fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for just the ability to find something that can keep us joyful, keep us going, and keep us allowing us to get through the hard times, God. God, I know there's people in this congregation, there's people we know who are going through hard things. But God, there is hope and there's something that can get us through it. Also, God, I know there's people in this church who have joy and have that. God, I encourage those people to go out and spread that joy to everybody, to the ends of the earth, God. Just give us the strength, give us the wisdom, keep us safe this week as we go out. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.